It's good to be back in the house of the Lord to worship Him. And for me in particular, I'm very, very thankful to the Lord for giving me a good recovery. I think I'm getting stronger by the day. And I thank God I'm able to be up here preaching for the second week. You have been asking me also about the condition of my eye. It is not very good. The pressure is high. The pressure has to be well controlled so that I can have my injection into the eye. And if this pressure is not well controlled, what it means is eventually I lose my vision with the high pressure. And if I don't have my injection, I will also lose my vision. So please continue to pray for me. And I'm very thankful that so many of you have been praying for me. And because of your prayers, I believe my vision has been sustained for the last 5 years, and it's been pretty good, I must say. Now, the message this morning is salvation message for all carried by beautiful people. For all, meaning to say that this message is universally for all. The offer of salvation is for all, and this message is carried by people who have beautiful feet. Now, when we studied Romans chapter 9 few months ago, we discovered that God elected people to be saved. God is sovereign. So you read chapter 9, you realize that God is sovereign. He elected people to be saved. For example, He elected Abraham from eternity past and to be saved. And that was a time in Abraham's life when he responded to the call of God for salvation. And then he was saved. And the word of God tells us about the belief of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, we read, "And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." That was the time when he started believing in God. And God counted his belief for righteousness. Then, among the sons of Abraham, only the son of promise was elected. And that was Isaac. The rest of Abraham's sons, including Ishmael, were passed by the one true living God. In other words, they were not saved. Then in the subsequent generation, the generation after Isaac, remember Isaac had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. And Esau was elected, Jacob was elected, but Esau was not. Esau was passed by the one true living God. And God said this very, very clearly in His word. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So He elected Jacob, but passed by Esau. Now then, when God dealt with Pharaoh, and we know from God's word that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was true, Pharaoh hardened his own heart, but God also hardened his heart. And so we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Romans 9, 17. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. The Apostle Paul actually quotes the Old Testament. "For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Whom he will have mercy, he will show his mercy. Whom he hardens, whom he wills to harden, he will harden." God is perfectly sovereign. Now Pharaoh hardened his own heart. We read that many, many times in the book of Genesis. Pharaoh hardened his heart, he hardened his heart, he hardened his heart. And that is true. But at the same time, God also hardened his heart. Now what it means is that God had just to remove his restraint over Pharaoh. This restraint was actually preventing him to do all the evil that he was capable of doing. But once this restraint was removed, Pharaoh went ahead to perform all the evil that he was capable of doing. Now in that sense, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, as it were, passively, but Pharaoh actively hardened his own heart. But the point is this, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh was passed by the one true living God. He was not elected. But when we come to Romans chapter 9, verse 33, all right, you turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 33, we read, I read for you. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on the one true living God shall not be ashamed. Now, on one hand, we read God elected people to be saved. All right, he elects people to be saved. And on the other hand, here we read, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, shall not be disappointed. Yes, on the day of judgment, the whosoever who believes in the one true living God will not be disappointed, will not be ashamed. He will be saved. And Paul reiterates this truth. In Romans chapter 10, you see that he says the same thing. All right, look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Romans 10 and verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Paul says the same thing. He reiterates this truth. And then we go on to verses 12 and 13. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God elects, and that's true. But at the same time he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, does this mean that God contradicts himself? He elects, and then on the other hand he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No, my dear friends, God doesn't contradict himself. It is just that our finite mind is incapable of appreciating or comprehending this truth, that God is sovereign, he elects, and at the same time, man is responsible for believing and calling upon God for salvation. This is the truth, and this is the truth. Yes, now, our inability to comprehend this truth does not make this truth untrue. And that's the fact. And there are so many things in life that we do not understand. But are they true or are they not true? They are still true. We do not understand, but they are still true. And that's true in life, in many things. Yes, a young child in school will not understand advanced mathematics, but that doesn't make the advanced mathematics untrue, just because the child doesn't understand. Likewise, there are so many things in our life which we do not understand, but our lack of understanding does not make the truth untrue. Yes, the truth is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Accompanying the other truth, God elects people to be saved. Yes. Now, this question is often asked. How do I know that I am elected by God to be saved? How am I to know? God elects, but how am I to know that God has elected me to be saved? Now, the answer is given by God himself. God says, if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, you shall be saved. Which means what? If you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, it means that you have been elected. If you have not been elected, you will never call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So if you are elected, you will definitely call upon the name of the Lord to save you. Now, the word whosoever. Now, the word whosoever tells us that this offer of salvation is universal. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The whosoever here tells us that the offer of salvation is for everyone. Yes, the salvation message is for the whosoever. For the whosoever. And God makes it very, very clear. John 3:16, we all know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Christ died, he paid for the sins of the world. Now, since the payment is made for the whole world, then God is in a position to offer his salvation to the whole world, to everyone. Yes, to all sinners, past, present and future. God is able to make that offer of salvation to everyone because Christ paid for the sins of the world. Yes. Now this payment that he made on the cross is sufficient to save everyone throughout the ages. But it is efficient. Efficient or efficient only to the elect. Efficient only to those who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. So sufficient for all, efficient for the elect. Now, this offer of salvation is offered to all, regardless of race. So you look at verses 12 and 13 of Romans chapter 10. All right, 10, 12 to 13. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. This offer of salvation is for the Jew and also for the Greek. For the same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord does not discriminate. He does not. He does not play favorites. If he did, then he would be showing great favors to the Jews. No, my dear friends, the Lord does not play favors. If he did, he would be showing great favors to the Jews, because to the Jews, God has committed his oracles, his truths. And through the Jews, the Savior of the world, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came. But God is fair. He says it very, very clearly here. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Our Lord is the Lord over whom? Just the Jews? No. He's Lord over all, over Jews and Gentiles, Jews as well as non-Jews. And his blessings are rich. Yes, he's rich, or his blessings are rich to all. To whom? To all that call upon him. Now, while the message of salvation is for the whosoever, for the whosoever to be saved, the whosoever must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. For the whosoever, but the whosoever must believe and then must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Now, verse 14 talks about calling and believing. All right, look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? All right, so you have calling and believing. Now, to call is more than to believe. Here, in this context here, all right, in this particular verse here, the belief here refers to an intellectual belief. It is head knowledge, all right, just head knowledge. Now, the question is it necessary for a person to have intellectual knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, intellectual knowledge of the gospel to be saved? Is it necessary? Or do you think? Is it necessary for people to know who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary to be saved? Necessary or not necessary? Of course it's necessary. So we must have intellectual knowledge or intellectual understanding of the gospel, of who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary to be saved. Now, in my message this morning, if you have read this book written by James Montgomery Boyce on the book of Romans, it's actually a commentary on the book of Romans, you will realize that I've actually picked quite a few illustrations from his book and also used some of the points that he has in the book. Now, I don't agree with everything that he says in the book, but there are some good things in his book, so I use some of the good things in his book. He says this, in his book, as an illustration, he says this. One time, the great preacher, Dr. Harry Ironside, observed what happened at a gospel meeting conducted by this man called Gypsy Smith. Now, Gypsy Smith was a great evangelist, by the way. And he was called Gypsy Smith because he was a gypsy. All right. So he preached the gospel on that occasion, and Dr. Ironside was there to observe. Then at the conclusion of the message, he gave an altar call. In other words, he invited people to come forward to, if they wanted to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, at the altar call, a huge crowd surged forward. There were hundreds of them. And then Dr. Ironside made this remark when he saw that the big number of people surging forward to the altar. He said, they came forward. Perhaps they wanted to become gypsies. You know why? Because during the course of Gypsy Smith's message, he told lots and lots of stories and gave lots of illustrations concerning gypsies, to the extent that people perhaps might have been very, very impressed by the lives of gypsies, that they wanted to become gypsies. So they all searched forward. Yes. Now, it's very, very important that when we give the gospel message to people, that the people whom we talk to must have an understanding, an intellectual understanding of who Jesus is, what Jesus did for them, and why they want to believe in Jesus. It's very important you ask that question. Why do you want to believe in Jesus? Sometimes when you ask that question of people whom you give the gospel to, they may say this to you: "Oh, I'm childless, and I want Jesus to give me a child." You may have an answer like that. Or, "I'm suffering from cancer. I want Jesus to heal me of my cancer." You know, you can get an answer like that. And my wife told me about dealing with children. He said that at a children's meeting, often you ask the children whether they wanted to trust Jesus or not. And if they wanted to trust Jesus, to raise their hands. And lots of children will raise their hands. And then if you ask the child, "Why do you raise your hand?" "Oh, I want to go to the toilet." So you see, it's very, very important that we ask this question: why do you want to believe in Jesus? Ask them, make sure that they understand who Jesus is, what he did for them on the cross of Calvary. Now, it is only after a person believes, after a person has this intellectual understanding of who Jesus is, what he did for us sinners on the cross of Calvary, that the person is in the position to truly call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Now, the word "call" in the Old Testament often refers to worship. It refers to praise. To call means to worship or to praise. And then in the New Testament, often it refers to the word trust or to believe. To call means to trust or to believe. So to call upon the name of the Lord means to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord, or to trust or to believe in the Lord from the heart, in the heart. Now, is it necessary for us to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Is it necessary? Yes, no. Yes, of course, we must call upon the name of the Lord so that we'll be saved. Now, you remember the case of Peter walking on the Sea of Galilee. Now, that night, the disciples were in the boat. The Lord Jesus Christ was not with them, and the sea was stormy. And then the Lord Jesus appeared to them. And when Peter saw the Lord walking on the sea, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, is that you? If it is you, I want to walk to you." And the Lord said, "Come, Peter, come." And Peter boldly stepped into the water. But as soon as he stepped into the water, he saw the wind boisterous and he got frightened and he started to sink. And what did he do? He kept quiet? No. He called unto the Lord. He said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord saved him. Now, it is necessary for us to call unto the Lord to save us. But do we need to vocalize our call? You see? Now, there was one missionary years ago whom we related to when I was a kid, a young man. And he said this, that if you want to be saved, you must call upon the name of the Lord. You don't just call in your heart. You must vocalize your call. You must utter your call, then you'll be saved. True or false? That's not true. Of course, if we call upon the name of the Lord, chances are we will vocalize our call, yes. But we surely can call upon the name of the Lord from our heart. And that's most important, to call upon him from our heart. Yes, but we must call upon him, because to call upon him means to believe on him. It means to trust in the Lord. So my question to you this morning, my dear friends, is this. Have you called upon the name of the Lord to save you? Have you really trusted in the Lord to save you? Have you believed in the Lord to save you? Have you entrusted your eternity to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, you must have this intellectual understanding of what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. You must have this intellectual understanding of who he is. But it is vitally important that you call upon the name of the Lord. Trust in him, believe in him to be saved. Now let's move on, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Yes, next I want to talk about the salvation message carried by beautiful people. We talk about the salvation message being universal, offered to all. Now let's talk about the salvation message being carried by beautiful feet. The question is, how can people know the truth of the gospel if they have not heard the truth of the gospel? They need a preacher to bring the gospel to them. Now the preacher is not just any preacher, but the preacher is one who is sent. And who sends the preacher? It's God, of course. God has to send the preacher. The sad situation in the church today is this: the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are so few. Few are willing to be sent. God wants to send preachers. God wants to send laborers to go out to do the harvest. But very, very few are willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to go. Yes. Now, today we really critically need to pray for the Lord to send forth laborers into his harvest. We need. And we need to pray very, very urgently. It's critical that we pray. Yes. Are we ready to pray, my dear friends, to pray that the Lord will send forth laborers? Maybe you say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. But the next question is, whom are we ready to offer to be sent forth as laborers for the Lord? Yes, whom are we ready to offer to be sent forth? I dare say, for many of us, it is this: Lord, please send so and so forth to be your laborer. Yes. Or, if the person is too old, Lord, please send his sons and his daughters. Yes, that's what we'll pray. But friends, what about praying this prayer as Isaiah did? Lord, here am I, send me. And then if we feel that we are too old to go out, maybe too sickly to go out, would we be ready to pray this prayer? Lord, please send my sons and my daughters. If it is your will to use them as your laborers, please send them forth. Are we prepared to pray that prayer, my dear friends? It's critical that we be ready to pray that prayer. Now, I was very, very glad when I heard this from our sister, Carolee. Our sister, Carolee, came and worshipped with us last week. She's a full-time worker, and she teaches in the Far Eastern Bible College. She worships in the church that is a small church by Singapore standard. I think more than 100 persons, worshippers in the church. But the church has sent forth something like 5 young laborers. 4 young ladies, university graduates. They graduated from university and then enrolled in the Far Eastern Bible College, and today they are serving the Lord full-time. And then there is this young man, 28 years old, just like that young man who came to preach here, Brother Lin Kang, 28 years old. Today, he has finished his studies in the Far Eastern Bible College, and he's the only son, and he has been sent forth by the Lord to go to Africa to be a missionary for the Lord. Parents are willing for their son to be sent forth as a laborer for the Lord. What about us, friends? Are we willing? We say we are too old to go. All right. What about our children? What about them? Are we ready to offer them to the Lord? Let this be a challenge to us. All right. Let this be a challenge to us. If some of us here are willing to go and to serve the Lord, then we don't have to look elsewhere to come and say, replace me or replace somebody here to speak or to minister in this church. Yes, because there are people who are willing to be raised up by the Lord to serve him. Now, not everyone is chosen to be sent by the Lord to preach the gospel full-time. Granted, and that is true, not every one of us is called to serve the Lord full-time as a minister of the gospel. And that is absolutely true. But let's understand that every one of us, without exception, without exception, has been given this ambassadorial duty to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in the king's business. All of us have been called to be his witnesses. We are to be preachers to carry the gospel of salvation. Because if we don't carry this message to people, how are these people going to hear the message of salvation? And the Word of God tells us something about the feet of those people who carry the gospel of peace. Their feet are beautiful. Look at verse 15. And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now the feet of them here refers to the feet of those messengers in those days who were sent back from the battlefront. The army would be fighting and news would be brought back to home, to the home city that sent the soldiers out. And the messenger will be carrying that news or carrying that message. And he will run. Yes, he will run back to the city. And then from the city wall, the watchman will be looking out for the runner who will be running back to the city. And by the way the runner ran, the watchman will be able to tell whether he was bringing back good news or bad news. Yes, whether it was a news of victory or news of defeat. Yes. And if the messenger brought back good news, news of victory, of course his feet would be very, very beautiful. They could be very dusty, could be very dirty, could even be bloody. But their feet would be beautiful because that pair of feet would be bringing back excellent news, good news, great news, news of victory. Now I read a story about a pair of beautiful feet, again from this book, on the book of Romans written by James Montgomery Boyce. Now it was about an African convert, yes, who suffered from this disease called elephantiasis. Now the way I understand it, this disease enlarges the feet or the foot, and the foot becomes very, very large, and the skin of the foot becomes thick and leathery, and the foot then appears to be like the leg then appears to be like that of an elephant. That's why the disease is called elephantiasis. Yes. Now, this story is about this convert, African convert, who became a Christian. He was suffering from elephantiasis. And after he became a believer, he became a very, very jubilant believer. And he carried the gospel message in his village from heart to heart. He dragged his heavy feet along with him, and very painfully he would go from heart to heart. And after a few months, he completed his mission. He went from every single heart to the next heart. Then after he had done that, one day he came and saw his pastor and the missionary, who was also a doctor, and told them that he wanted to bring the gospel to the neighboring village, which was about 3 to 5 kilometers away. So off he went. He dragged his heavy feet along with him, painfully took his steps, one step at a time, and brought the gospel to the neighboring village until he had given the gospel to every of those hearts in the neighboring village. Now then, he decided to rest for a while. Then over a few weeks, he felt very, very restless. And he thought of this village that was far away, about 20, 30 kilometers away. He remembered this village because as a boy, before he was stricken with this elephantiasis, he had visited that village and he wanted to go. He told the missionary and he told his pastor he wanted to go to that village, but he was discouraged from going, because his feet were in no condition to bring him there. But then one morning, early morning, his relatives came to the missionary and the pastor and said that this man had disappeared and he had not come back. Yes, and then eventually the whole story came out. This man had walked that long distance through the jungle path, yes, to that village, 20, 30 kilometers away. He dragged his feet painfully along, arrived at that village. And when he arrived, it was noontime. And then he was hungry, but when he was offered food, he refused to eat. He decided to straight away preach the gospel. And by sundown, he was about to make his way back because there was no room for him or nobody could accommodate him. But he decided to go back. So he walked back. Now, it was dangerous, of course, to make that journey back at night because of wild animals. He could very well have fallen prey to the wild animals. But he made his way back. And he gave his testimony to his the missionary and to the pastor. He said that his fear for the darkness and for the wild animals was more than balanced by the great joy that he had in sharing the gospel with those people in that village that was 20, 30 kilometers away from his own village. Then when he arrived that night, it was close to midnight. The missionary doctor heard the noise at the porch, opened the door with his lamp and saw this man lying unconscious at his door. He called for help and then they carried him onto the hospital bed and the missionary treated him. And the missionary said this, that he had seldom seen such a fruitful sight, a frightful sight as he looked upon those bleeding feet which had come back from an errand of love and mercy. The missionary wept unashamedly when he saw that pair of feet. Then he said this, when I treated him, all I could think of this were this. Yes, he said, in all my life I do not know when my heart was more drawn out to another Christian believer. All I could think of was the verse in the Word of God. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings that publish peace. He was suffering from elephantiasis. His feet were huge, ugly, bleeding, but they were beautiful feet as far as this missionary was concerned. And surely they were very, very beautiful in the eyes of the one true living God. This man went unflinchingly, in spite of the great pain that he suffered, to give the gospel. Now, our feet are well formed. Yes, I'm sure our toenails could be very well manicured. And I'm sure many of us, there are some of us here who spend that kind of money to have their toenails manicured. Yes, and then our feet could be beautiful to people in the world. Just like this woman, Rhonda, in the advertisement, right? Beautiful to that person who was trying to massage her feet. Beautiful to people in the world. But friends, they might not be beautiful in the sight of the one true living God. It is the feet that carry the gospel of peace that are beautiful in the sight of the one true living God. A man might as well be a double amputee. In other words, he has no legs at all. But if he is the one who brought the gospel to you, and he is the one who brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ, surely to you his feet are most beautiful. Even though he may be legless, he is a double amputee. Yes, you may not see them as beautiful now because he's got no legs. But the day will come when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he stands before the judgment seat of Christ. His feet are going to be most beautiful in our sight. And surely most beautiful in the sight of the one true living God. Now, if you are a bearer of the gospel, your feet are beautiful in the sight of God. Yes, you walk the streets of Sydney participating in the 30 in 30. Your feet could be very dusty, your shoes could be very dirty. All right, but friends, if you are carrying the gospel of peace, your feet are most beautiful in the sight of the one true living God. You could be suffering from cut feet. Yes, you could be flat-footed. Yes, and your feet could be deformed. Your nails could have lots of fungus. But friends, they are beautiful feet in the sight of God if you are carrying the gospel of peace. Now let's look at the next two verses, 16 and 17. Yes, 16 and 17. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you may be carrying the gospel around with the most beautiful pair of feet. Yes, because in the sight of God, your feet are very beautiful. You have been very, very diligent in bringing the gospel to people, sharing the gospel with people. But very often, the sad truth is this. People reject what you say to them. they reject the gospel of peace. And that's what I want to talk about next. The salvation message will be rejected by many people. The Apostle Paul echoes the words uttered by the prophet Isaiah, made something like 750 years before the time of the Apostle Paul. Isaiah said this, "Who hath believed our report?" Yes, in Isaiah's day, it was like that. Who hath believed our report? When I tell them the gospel, they don't believe in the gospel. During the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's the same. Who hath believed our report? During the time of the great Apostle Paul, it was the same. Who hath believed our report? You think it is any different today? My dear friends, it's the same. We go around sharing the gospel with people, it's the same. We will have the same feeling also. Who hath believed our report? And here, seated in this congregation here, when I speak to you, I might be feeling also, because some of you may fall into this category of saying, whom I have to say about, that you are not believing the report that I'm saying to you today. Yes, giving to you today. You are not believing in the gospel that I'm giving to you today. Yes, but today, if you were to carry another message, a message other than the gospel, a message that is very soothing to the ears, a message that people like to listen to, I tell you, they will all flock to listen to you. James Montgomery Boyce says this, "So what's new? Today, if we preach a message suited to our listeners' wants or felt needs, we can gain a wide audience. We can gain a wide hearing. In other words, you preach another message other than the gospel message, you get a good hearing from people. Yes, if we tell them that Jesus will give them treasure on earth rather than treasure in heaven, people will line up to listen to you. You share the health and wealth gospel to them, they will come and listen to you. If you tell them that Jesus will make them feel good rather than holy, people will clamor for the fix. Yes, they want to feel good, so they will come and listen to you. If we tell them that Jesus died to cure them of their low self-esteem rather than their sins, they will pay. Yes, they will pay for such messages. You know, these gurus, they talk about how to help you get out of your low esteem. Yes, you pay the gurus to get you out of your feelings about having low esteem about yourself. Yes, and much of a modern church growth movement is built on exactly the same reasoning, Boyce says. And it works well. It builds mega churches, and it makes the bearers of the mega gospel rich, because it is what sinful people want to hear. And that's true. A message other than the gospel message. People love to hear that kind of message, and that kind of message makes the mega church preachers rich, it makes the mega churches rich. But that's not the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is about Jesus shedding his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for us. It is about Jesus dying on the cross for us. It is about Jesus returning soon. Yes, and it is a message that says that if you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have risen with him. And if you have risen with him, you will not want to sin anymore. You will forsake your sin. You will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will want the Lord Jesus Christ to rule over your lives. Yes, but such a message, my dear friends, does not go down well with people. It does not. Does it go down well with you? It does not go down well with people. Yes, they do that. It does not go down well with sinful men. People do not want this kind of Jesus. They don't want to come to Jesus because they do not want Jesus to reprove their sins. They do not want their sins to be exposed. They don't want to hear this message, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. You know why they don't want to listen to this message? Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. The reason is simple, because they don't want to repent. That's why they don't want to listen to such a message. Friends, let's not stop sharing the gospel message with people, even though people might be rejecting that message. Let's not be discouraged. Remember this truth. Salvation is of the Lord. every time you feel discouraged, remember this truth: salvation is of the Lord. If the Lord has elected people to be saved, when you share the gospel with them, they will be saved. If the Lord has elected them, when you share the gospel with them, God will open their hearts. And when their hearts are open, they will be very receptive to God's word. And when they are receptive to God's word, God will then give them saving faith. You see, the word of God says this: so then faith cometh by hearing. God opens their heart. They hear, and so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They hear the word of God. God opens their heart. They hear the word of God. And then God gives them faith. Yes, God gives them faith, saving faith. So let's not be discouraged, friends. Let's share the gospel. Remember this truth: salvation is of the Lord. If the Lord has elected them to be saved, they will be saved. Now, if we have already trusted in the Lord as our Lord and Savior, let's be very, very thankful unto Him. If we have trusted in Him, what it means is that we have been elected by Him to be saved. And let us not say that we cannot be saved because we are not elected. Let's not say that. While it is true, only those who are elected to be saved, let us also remember that this offer of salvation is universal. It is offered to the whosoever. If we are willing to be the whosoever, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to call upon Him, we will be saved. We will have been elected by the one true living God. But people are not able to believe and call upon the name of the Lord except they hear the truth of the gospel. They need preachers. They need people to preach the gospel of truth to them. And all of us, my dear friends, all of us without exception have been called to be preachers of the gospel. The question is, are we willing to be sent? Are we willing to go? And then for some of us, the Lord might have called us and said, call us to full-time service. The question is, are we willing to go? Are we willing to tell the Lord, Lord, here am I, send me? Are we willing to tell the Lord that? Friends, if we are willing to be the preachers and the bearers of the gospel, our feet are most beautiful, not in the sight of man, not in your own sight, but our feet are most beautiful in the sight of the one true living God. Let us pray that we may have that kind of feet. And let us not be discouraged in bearing the gospel of truth. It is a common experience that for preachers that the gospel message is rejected by many people. It happened in time past, it happened in history, it happens today. People today are more willing to hear a message other than a gospel message. They like to hear a message that promises them health and wealth. They like to listen to a message that causes them to feel good. They like to hear a message that gives them great self-esteem. They do not care to listen to a message that challenges them to repent from their sins. We don't care to listen to that kind of message. But let's not be discouraged. Let us continue to preach the message. Yes, if they have been elected by the one true living God to be saved, they will be saved. So let's preach the message. And if we are preachers of the message, my dear friends, remember, in the sight of God, our feet are most beautiful to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gospel message which is offered to the whosoever. And we thank You that there was a time in our life when it was clear that You have elected us to be saved, because it was at that time when we came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We became the whosoever who were willing to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and to call upon Him to save us. And we thank You, O Lord God, that You have saved us. And Father, we know that there is this great need for preachers of the gospel. We thank You, O Lord God, that You have saved us. But we also have our responsibility to be the preachers that You want us to be. Father, we pray that we may not neglect this responsibility. we may rise up to the challenge and say, Lord, please send me. I'm willing to share the gospel with others. In our midst, perhaps there could be those also whom the Lord has called into full-time service, but who are unwilling to accept the challenge. We pray, O Lord God, that you'll be very merciful. Speak to them and cause them to respond so that they will be willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. And Father, we thank you that you have given us beautiful feet if we are preachers of the gospel. We pray that all of us may realize that we have been called to preach, and Father, we pray that we may not neglect this holy duty. And also, Lord, we want to pray that we may not be discouraged in sharing the gospel with people. Help us to understand that there will be those who have been elected by you, and that, Lord, when we share the gospel with them, they will surely respond. So, Lord, we pray that you will continue to use us for your glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.